And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you and whenever you happen to be listening to us on the great World Wide Web. We are back. We are the last three guys to do a podcast, our 16th episode on this wild card weekend of football. I'm John Morgo, along with
Daniel Bolton
and
Leon Brown.
Thank you very much for tuning in. As I said before, it is the wild card weekend, also known as the little bit of lull before the college football championship. And so far, we've had some upsets, but we've also had some things go the way they're supposed to and some tight finishes. So a little bit of everything, including the game that's going on that right now as we're taping, the Eagles and the Bears. But first, let's go to the upsets. And I know, Leon, you're not really thinking of this as an upset because your Chargers went on the road and took out the Baltimore Ravens. But I got to ask you, do you think it's Lamar Jackson or Joe Flacco that was the cause for that?
I'm going to give the credit to my Chargers. You know, the fact is that we had a bagel going into halftime. It was 12-0 or 12. Bagel was bagel. And, you know, they gave some good pushback in the fourth quarter, but we did answer their temper tantrum with 11 points. So, but, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to my team on that. Whether it was Joe Flacco, I was really nervous. If you guys listen to the show from our Twitch, I was very nervous about playing Baltimore in the playoffs because that read option cannot prepare for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's at the same time, though, we cannot discount the fact that this is the first playoff win that the Chargers have had in over 10 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were talking a little bit about this before we came on the air. And, Daniel, you said it's very hard for a team to beat another team twice in the same year. And you credited to the game a couple weeks ago because now the Chargers had something to look at and prepare for Lamar Jackson.
You cannot beat a team twice, guys. And it's hard. It's hard to do this. It's hard to beat a team twice, especially when the team that lost has tape on.
Absolutely.
There's tape on Lamar Jackson now. And there's tape on what should have happened because we knew what they were going to do. They were going to run the football. We had to get them in third and long situations, and I thought the Chargers did an outstanding job out there. Melvin Ingram played out of his mind today. He was outstanding. That secondary, you got a young stud out there, my boy from Florida State, Derwin James, who I knew was going to be a great asset to this team. He was out there. He was doing his thing. And listen, it's so tough in this league, and we can convert back to this, man. It's so tough to beat an experienced quarterback when you are a young quarterback that's in this league. And you can ask Mr. Deshaun Watson, who, of course, me and John have some special. He holds a special place in our hearts for him. But, I mean, it's just what it is. Phillip Rivers has done this before. He's 37 years old.
Absolutely.
You know, Lamar Jackson had no idea what was going on out there. And I'm going to put a little bit of that, John, on the coaching staff. It should have gotten him prepared for this. It should have gotten him ready for this spot, for this moment. He cannot play the way that he had played the last six or seven games that got the Ravens to the playoffs and got the Ravens to the AFC North and think that he was going to come in here and just do that against the Chargers, who, by the way, saw him 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. And also, you got to look at sometimes playoff losses for young quarterbacks. I mean, you've seen this with Peyton Manning. See what
so Ben Roethlisberger,
right?
Absolutely. We see what the playoff loss did to Jared Goff.
Yeah,
last year. I mean, when a team flies in, 3,000 miles, and punches you in the mouth and takes you to the woodshed and bends over the knee and gives you the business like that.
It's almost like you want for a rookie quarterback to get broken in like that. You know what I'm saying? You want for a guy to get broken in like that. I wanted for Deshaun Watson to get broken in like that. You know, even though it wasn't. I didn't want him to lose, but
right.
You know, but he still had to realize because Deshaun Watson didn't look like the Deshaun Watson that got them to the postseason.
No,
he did. Yeah,
and also I think the Houston Texans wanted to find that person and punch him out. The person who had the stat that the Texans had not lost or Deshaun Watson had not lost by more than what 7 points, more than one possession in every loss he had since dating back to his sophomore year in high school.
Yeah.
I think they want to find this person and punch him out for
making that comment.
For making that stat up. And getting back to Lamar Jackson, he threw two touchdowns, one interception, 194 yards. I'm looking at the book right now for a 78.8 passer rating, and I'm looking over at Philip Rivers, 22 of 32, 160 yards, no touchdowns, passer rating of 80.2.
Okay.
And the question that I want to give you guys, both of you guys, is should Coach Harbaugh have made the switch to Joe Flacco in the third quarter?
Leo, what you think?
No, I don't think so. You don't.
That's tough, right?
Because quarterback changes are so sensitive. Like, for example, if you bench a quarterback, it's kind of like you can't, you could bring him back in, but it can't be immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, if, unfortunately, you know, I mean, look what happened a couple years ago when Osweiler got benched for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never got over that.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, it's a real, you know, a quarterback change is real sensitive, you know. I think, you know, you got to ride the horse that got you there and let him get, and just to Daniel's point, you gotta let him get broken in.
Here's my thing about that, and I agree with everything you're saying, but, John, I want to go back to your numbers that you had. A pass rating of 78. Yeah, he threw two touchdowns and an interception, but I think he fumbled four times in his game.
All right.
And that was his main problem. He lost two of those fumbles. Yeah. So, you know, and that's been his main thing all year long. And the bad habits catch up to you at the wrong time, right? And they caught up with him. He fumbled at that last on the last possession where they really had a chance to win the game. He put him back in there. He made some throws. And you were like, wow, how did he make the throw like that? You know, I wouldn't have put him in. And I also heard that it was a fan out there heckling, and one of the players went out there and said, no, I don't. Because one of the fans were saying, put in Flacco.
Right.
Put in Flacco. And I can't remember what player it was. And that player, I don't think, should have went over there and addressed that.
Right. Yeah,
okay? You got to let that go. Okay? You got to let that go and focus. Now all that's going to do is bring more attention to you than anything. Yeah. You know?
So, speaking of which, mm-hmm. not to focus on a team that lost. Mm-hmm. So, where do the Ravens go from here? You know, is there a quarterback controversy, or do we let Flacco go?
I think we let Flacco go.
Yeah.
Simply because, Philip Rivers had a average yard per catch of about 7.
Lamar
Jackson doubles that.
Yes.
He had 14. I'm saying is as much as the Ravens should have won, the Ravens were in this game, their defense did a great job holding Los Angeles to what they did. 5 field goals from Badgley. They only had 1 touchdown, guys.
Yeah, they did. That's right.
So, you know, it wasn't a game that'll go down in pro football annals as the most beautiful ever played, as Leon said. It was ugly. It kind of fits more into what we're seeing right now. This NFC divisional wild card matchup between Philadelphia and Chicago. This is a defensive-oriented game in the snow. I mean, this is just NFC North football right here. All we're missing is snow, really.
Yeah, that's all we're missing. That's all we're missing. The Bears are now ahead 15-10. They just scored. But I think we knew that out of all 4 games, and we're going to talk about Dallas and Seattle because we haven't hit on that, and we'll hit on the Colts and the Texans. We'll break that down as well. But in this game, I think we knew out of the 4 games we were going to have some ugliness going on here. This is more of a first team to 20 wins the game, you know. I want to go back to the Colts and Texans for a minute here. And when I'm looking at the game, guys, first possession of the game, here comes Andrew Luck. He comes out. First off, he's leading the team that's 9-1 in their last 10 games, okay? So there's the scary part about that. Then, you know, he comes out, he hits you in the mouth, and T.Y. Hilton, who was probably one of the top 5 receivers in football about a couple of years ago before he was suffering from injuries last year, he comes out and he has this tremendous first quarter. And now we're sitting here and we're looking like, wow, this is nuts, man. This is nuts. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And that Colts defense showed up and it showed out. Another thing, too. Somebody who has not gotten the credit should be a Pro Bowler, even though I think the Pro Bowl is probably one of the worst All-Star games going on right now. But Darius Leonard from the Indianapolis Colts should be the Defensive Rookie of the Year, hands down. 165 tackles this young man has had. He did not get to the Pro Bowl. He is a first-team All-Pro. And he led that defense to an impressive victory. And Deshaun Watson just couldn't make the throws that we're accustomed to him making.
49 pass attempts for Deshaun Watson in this game.
That's not good.
It's crazy, right?
When I look at the offensive coordinator, I fired him.
But that's because they couldn't run the football. Right. First and second down. So they're in third and long situations.
Yeah.
You have a team like that in third and long situations. And guess what? DeAndre Hopkins was playing with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, still managed 5 receptions for 37 yards.
Right.
And Deshaun Watson, like I say, got sacked 3 times.
Right.
Lost 18 yards.
Right.
So it was pretty much the Indianapolis Colts front line that won them this ball game.
Their front 7 dominated. And basically, they dominated the line of scrimmage because their offensive line, led by the great Quentin Nelson, the rookie out of Notre Dame, he's first team all pro. First time since 1965 that you had an offensive and defensive rookies on the same team as all pros. And guess who they're with? Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. That is some company.
That is definitely rarefied air over there for the Indianapolis Colts.
You know what they're saying too, though?
Mm-hmm.
It's the third time you've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Yep, Colts Texans.
AFC South matchup. Yeah. Listen, it could be the third time that the Chargers and Chiefs see each other if they go to the AFC Championship.
True.
I'm just saying.
That's why I'm looking at another fight. We're fighting against all these mobile quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
If it's up to me, I want to see the Patriots and the Chargers and another Tom Brady Philip Rivers brawl. Your team is 1-0.
No, I'm agreeing with that assessment.
You guys have 1-0.
I'm agreeing with that assessment. I just think it's funny. That, did you just call Tom Brady a mobile quarterback?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to see another. I don't want to see one in the AFC Championship.
You're talking about Mahomes.
He hit 1,000 yards for his career. So I mean,
yeah. You're talking about Mahomes. That's what you're talking. Is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
But
you know, for now, it's like you look at the Patriots like that. It's kind of like it's like what Max Kellerman broke down this week on First Take in reference to LeBron James and Jordan comparison, which I don't like comparing it to because it's two different players. I think that's just media, media hype. But he said that when you look at people like Muhammad Ali, what defined Muhammad Ali was the people that he beat. He was like the monster slayer. He's like David versus Goliath. But Goliath was Michael Jordan. LeBron James, the Goliath that he is individually, his teams were never like the juggernaut. His teams were not the juggernaut.
Right.
Versus the Warriors, who were this juggernaut that LeBron James slayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I look at the Patriots, they're like this AFC juggernaut that has been dominating the AFC for the better part. I was having a conversation with a young guy who was like, the young man looked like, he might have been like 21 years old. Favorite team is the Patriots in Philadelphia.
That's not right.
That don't make no sense. I'm like, how are you a
Patriots? Well, I know some people who are from D.C. and they love the Cowboys. Like, they do not, they're not Redskins fans at all.
That's crazy. That's like being from Atlanta and being a New Orleans fan.
Oh, God.
No, that's, it's not that. No, I'll tell you what it's like. Oh, God. Well, baseball's kind of not really akin to this because hasn't been that one dynasty. It's like being in Sacramento, living in Sacramento and being a Warrior fan.
Yes. Yeah. That's like being a Charter fan and being a Raider fan. Being from San Diego and being a Raider fan. You got to keep that to yourself.
you're missing my point. He's not a real fan. He's a bandwagon fan.
Yes.
That's my point.
But, you know, the thing about are we getting old? Because
in my case, there's no question.
You got to look at it. This man's 21 years old, right? It's 2019. You know, for those of us out there, we were all in high school or some of the. I was in high school in 98 when he was born.
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
All right, don't worry about this.
John Denver.
I was working at CNN.
Yeah, think about it. The Patriots have been good this man's whole life.
Right.
Ever since we're getting old here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, look, a lot of these teams, a lot of these guys we've seen come in, you know, these, like, the Peyton Mannings and, you know, LeBron James have been, like, I'm talking my nephew, you know, who was born in 1994. LeBron James has been popular the better part of his whole life.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, see, they didn't see Michael like we did. And the latter parts of Magic Johnson's career and the latter parts of Larry Bird's career, so they didn't see that.
They have no tape.
They have no frame of reference.
None whatsoever. So it's like...
And Leon, you mentioned a time machine, and I can tell you right now, a time machine will never be invented, largely because if it had, we would know about it. Because the first thing people would use this thing for is settle bar fights.
Yep. Oh, man. Yep.
Yes.
LeBron James could take Michael Jordan one-on-one. No, he can't. Yeah, he can. All right, here we go. Yep. And then Michael Jordan's practicing gym is like, oh, man, not again.
Yep.
Again, Randy Johnson could strike out Babe Ruth. No, he couldn't. Yeah, he could.
And Babe's looking crazy, right?
What the heck is this?
And, so we got to, you know, that's interesting. You know, when I look at the young man, like, is he a bandwagon or is just somebody who's just been good his whole life?
No, he's a bandwagon.
It's a bandwagon.
Yeah,
he's a bandwagon. I mean, it takes guts to follow the Vanderbilt Commodores. Yeah. It takes guts to be a Falcon fan.
Yes.
You have to be a Charter fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to be from that place.
You have to be from
there. You have to be from that place of absolute despair.
Yeah. You have
of having your years, your hopes crushed, your dreams ground into dust, and you have to survive it.
Man, Charles in his bag right now. Trust me, he deserves it too.
Man,
he deserved every bit of that. You know what? No, yeah. And it's kind of hard to talk to fans like that. You know, it is. But listen, I'm a couple of years ago when we lost the Super Bowl, you know, before that game, Tom Brady was just great to me. And then he beat us like that. And I was like, I don't like him.
it's not so much he beat us, we beat ourselves.
Well, we beat ourselves and then I had to come back to reality like, you know what, man, this might have been the greatest quarterback I've ever seen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This might be the greatest quarterback of all time. Listen, and just like that LeBron and Michael debate, it could almost go to similarity to the Montana and Brady debate. Michael went to 6 finals, didn't lose the final, right? LeBron went to, oh, God, how many finals has LeBron went to? But he's lost like 4, 5 finals, 6. Thank you. So that means he went to 9 NBA finals. So he's 3-6. Yeah, he's 3-6 in the finals. 2 with Miami, and then he got that one back in Cleveland. And then you have the Montana Brady argument. Montana went to 4 Super Bowls, won all 4 of his Super Bowl, ran the 80s.
Right.
The 49ers ran the 80s, man. And you had, of course, a couple of teams in between there that would get, you know, Super Bowl championships. Oakland got one earlier in that year. The Giants got one. The Redskins got one.
There's an argument.
The Bears.
There's an argument, though, bro. There is a caveat with Joe Montana
and
Tom Brady.
Right.
Tom Brady never had, like, LeBron James never had a Scottie Pippen.
Okay. Well.
Jerry Rice has been on record.
Wait a minute. In Miami?
He had Dwayne Wade.
Oh, he had Wade and Bosh.
And he got it done twice.
Yeah.
So there is a caveat to that. But Montana had Roger Craig.
But he didn't have it his first Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
He didn't have Craig and Rice his first Super Bowl. 1981 or 82, that was against the Bengals. He didn't have them. Mm. I think he had Dwight Clark.
And Dwight Clark.
Yeah, he had Dwight Clark.
He's always had a solid supporting cast, but going to the other ones, though, you know, he had, like, probably arguably the greatest wide receiver of all time. You know?
Greatest player.
Great, yeah. And
let's be honest, football's a lot different than basketball. I mean, you could go one-on-one in basketball. You can't go one-on-one in football.
You can't go one-on-one.
So it really doesn't make sense to compare Montana and Brady because you can't compare their supporting cast. The exact supporting cast. Yeah, you could do it, but that's impossible.
Brady has never had – he's him like Dan Marino.
And imagine, if you will, what Montana would do today if he had today's rules.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
If he had the rules protecting the quarterback that you've got right now.
That's why that whole greatest of all time kind of thing is an opinion.
That's
all it is. It's an opinion, and it's an opinion not worth fighting over.
Right.
It's for people like us.
Yeah.
Hey, unlike the 101, I mean, that's fisticuffs right there. We're all down for it for the NBA. Like LeBron versus Michael, you know, the wars are going to be fought. Actual physical fighting wars are going to be fought over this. That's what World War III is going to be about, I guarantee it. It's not going to be about North Korea nukes, although Kim Jong-un is probably going to be a Michael fan, Donald Trump will be a LeBron fan, and they'll just go ahead and that'll be planetary destruction.
And here we go.
Exactly. And speaking of planetary destruction, if Dallas and Seattle put up a fight against the Cowboys. Cowboys finally win a playoff game under Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
So can we start the celebrations over in Big D?
Well, listen, they play like the Bears, dude. They have a tremendous defense, you know. Now I will say this: the one thing that kept Seattle in the ballgame. Seattle has the most underrated receiving corps in football. Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett made some very good catches and bailed Russell Wilson out of some bad throws. But Dallas's running game, they can get you on that with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. You know, I think Ezekiel Elliott rushed for over 100 yards in this ball game and a touchdown. So, and they have an outstanding defense. So it was exhausting. Now, they go to L.A. next week, okay? Well, we don't know yet. We don't know
right, because this is the...
This and then this score, they may go to New Orleans next week if this score holds, if the Chicago Bears defeat the Philadelphia Eagles today.
And then the Bears go to L.A.
And then the Bears go to L.A., which is great. There's going to be some great football next week. But, listen, they were able to overcome the injury, the gruesome injury to Allen Hurns. That was a gruesome injury. And you got Amari Cooper involved. See, Amari Cooper is going to be the key, especially on the third and long situations.
106 yards yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And he got most of that in the second half because he was really nowhere to be found in the first half. Both teams struggled to get things going here. And the one thing that stopped, what a great defense can do and what they target at is your best thing. And that's for Seattle. They had the number one rushing offense in the National Football League this year. They weren't able to get it done on the ground.
Oh, they stopped
them. They stuffed them, and they put Wilson and they forced Russell Wilson to beat them.
And he came close.
And they came close. Yeah. They came absolutely close.
Lockett with 120 yards receiving, but you're right about the rushing. Their highest rusher yesterday, 30 yards.
30 yards. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you can't. How does he outrush your whole wide receiver, rushing?
That's exactly what Ezekiel did.
Especially if you were the number one rushing team in the NFL.
Yeah, so is that a credit to Dallas' defense for doing their due diligence to make those results possible?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we looking at just Seattle's like execution?
Dallas, let's be honest, folks. Dallas, not really know. When we talk about Dallas, we don't talk about their defense.
No, we don't.
We talk about Prescott. We talk about Zeke. We talk about Amari Cooper. We talk about all of that.
Yeah.
But their defense... very underappreciated, very underfed, underutilized, and that was their defense that held Russell Wilson and the Seahawks right when it was needed.
Yeah, shout out to Kyle Van Der Esch, the rookie out of Boise State, and DeMarcus Lawrence. Those two guys, and Jalen Smith, remember, he came back from injury last year. So getting those guys up and running and ready to go, and listen, they were phenomenal yesterday. They were phenomenal.
Well, this is the question. Mm-hmm. So, does this make Dallas, with Dak Prescott as the face of their franchise, with this playoff win that has, because y'all look at the bullet, this is like the first playoff win. Did Tony Romo get a playoff win?
Yeah, he did.
He got two.
He beat Minnesota, I want to say, or Detroit, one of those two teams.
And 15 years of all, mm-hmm. Dak Prescott comes in, 2 of his 3 years with the quarterback, they go to the playoffs.
Yep.
Now they won.
Not only to the playoffs, they win a division.
Won the division twice.
Division. Yeah.
They go to the playoffs. They made a little noise. So are we saying that if Dallas validated and verified this game, or we got to wait till next game? If they get the NFC Championship, does this validate and verify Dallas?
Well, it depends on their matchup. But I mean, right now you can validate and certify them right now.
Well, they did something they haven't done. They did something that Jason Garrett hadn't done.
Exactly.
Jason Garrett's finally got that monkey off his back.
Right.
And knowing how Jerry Jones loves him, he probably just is going to give him an extra 5 years on his contract. Is probably what's going to happen.
He's going to extend him. He's going to extend him right
Absolutely.
Now. The Eagles guys on the 2 yard line with 1:10 to go, about 15-10, and trying to get into the end zone to take a possible lead here. Yeah, Matt Nagy. Listen, Matt Nagy should be coach of the year. I mean, first year head coach, and you take and actually his GM should be GM of the year for bringing in Khalil Mack and pulling off that trade. Okay, that's what changed this whole thing for the Chicago Bears. I mentioned this about 3 or 4 shows ago.
You mentioned every show we've had, and I've agreed with you. Yeah, no question. Yeah.
It's a constant variable, and I think he deserves to be coach of the year as well.
And John Gruden should be.
In reverse.
Well, yeah, in reverse, yeah.
Well, like I said, it's going to require maybe 2 years before we see the fruits of what Gruden's trying to work. Because the Raiders, Raiders are not playing for this year. They're not playing for next year. They're playing for 2020. And incidentally, ground on their training complex is going to occur, I think, next month. They're going to break ground on. They're going to break ground on it.
Vegas, right?
Well, it's actually going to be about maybe 5-10 minutes from my parents' house in Henderson.
Really?
Oh, wow.
It's where it's going to be, in the south side of Henderson, across the street from a Costco's, actually, near the executive airport. Because that's where all the celebs fly in. They don't fly in McCarran.
Oh, okay.
Your rappers, they're going to take those private airports and they're going to fly in.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
How far away is Henderson from Gene?
From where? You're talking about, all right. Well, first of all, Prim is that town that's right on the border, and it's 30 miles. So I want to say Gene is maybe 10 or 15.
Yeah, when I was younger, you know, my dad used to take these little trips to Barstow.
Oh, gosh.
He used to go to Barstow because he used to work for, he worked for a car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make bitter trains, Toyota, and you have to drive to Barstow. Sometimes we take that,
Barstow is like the last chance. I mean, once you go past Barstow, you're in what's called the high desert, the mountainous region, and there's like no civilization until you hit Prim. There's one town, it's called Baker, and it's known for the world's largest thermometer. That's kind of sticking out of the ground. But the thing about Barstow is you know you're in that last chance city because gas prices are 50 cents higher than they are in San Bernardino.
Absolutely. A lot of arguments have been settled. A lot of debates. A lot of barroom fights have been settled between Barstow and Gene. I guarantee you. There's a lot of space and a lot of desert. You're like, ooh.
And as soon as you hit the border up between Nevada and California, you go straight up in the Sierras.
Yeah.
And then you're just not going to see anything for about 2 hours until you hit Barstow, and then I think Victorville might be 20-30 minutes behind that. San Bernardino, your jumping off point for Southern California, and is right there. So you can either go south of San Diego, go west to LA, that's kind of where it all is, or just go further to the coast of Malibu. And so that's your Southern California geography lesson. It's about a 5-hour drive. I thought I've done it twice. Actually, I did it about 2¾ time. 2¾ times. One time I destroyed my father's engine on an off-ramp in Calabasas. That was fun.
Oh, my goodness. People, we just have we call it an upset. We call it a controversy that's going to be happening to Philadelphia people. We have the Eagles have just scored with how many 56 seconds left in the playoff game.
Fourth down. That was
fourth down. With Nick Foles leading the ship.
And a nice pass. Just a simple route. Go to a curl route. Go to the end zone. Make sure you're in bounds and cut to the sidelines.
It looked like they ran like a natural pick, too, to get Tate open.
A little pick and roll action. I see the guy praying.
Yeah. It's all right. They got 56 seconds left. But once again, guys.
Can you trust Mitchell Trubisky to lead a 1-minute offense?
Exactly. Now you got the young guy. You know what? I saw.
Do you go for two in this situation?
Yeah, I do. I do if I'm the Eagles. Make them try to at least force overtime,
right?
Yeah. And not go for the win here. So, yeah, I get this one.
Okay.
I get this one. The Bears have one timeout to go, so they have to use their sidelines. And they're going to use. They're probably going to go Philly special here. They're going to go with their best play for this 2-point conversion.
He throw the battery at an opposing fan? That joke would have worked so much better if I could have gotten out straight. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you're a Chicago fan in that Philadelphia seats right now, you gotta it depends on you're surrounded by him, what the alcohol temperament is. You know, you
might just, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you gotta make sure the security is around before you start. You know, I don't know.
Looks like they are gonna go for two.
Yeah, they're gonna go for two.
If you ever watching the game live as we speak,
yes, America. While we're taping, we're not NFL. We're not really stepping on your copyright exclusivity to NBC. We're just seeing it over. Besides, this is taped about 2 days, and it looks like
Philadelphia not only did they fumble, they did not get it.
Now they recover their own fumble. So
now what would have happened was if Chicago would have recovered that fumble and ran it back, it would have been a safety. And then it would have been 17-16, Chicago. Now, the question is, did he get this ball? No, he lost that ball. He was losing it right there.
Right at the threshold.
No, it didn't. It didn't. Doesn't look like it did to me. Let's see. And now, remember, only it could be a little piece of the ball.
From that angle.
That's hard. Well, that's close. That is close.
Well, while they figure that out, if you're New Orleans, who do you want to face? You want to face Chicago? You want to face Dallas?
You don't want to see Chicago. You really don't want to see Dallas either. But
hell, they beat you.
They beat you
very badly.
They have tape on Dallas.
They have tape on Dallas now, right? So I would rather see Dallas
than a personal vendetta.
Yeah, I would rather see Dallas. You're at home, but you know what?
If you're the Rams, who would you want to face?
Probably neither one of them. You know, the thing about the Rams is that there is a surefire way of beating them, and that's keeping the ball out of Goff's hands, making sure Gurley doesn't get going, you know? So you control the clock against them. The Saints is not going to be that easy because the Saints have a good enough defense to stop you from doing so.
And Gurley's got a week of rest because I think he's fighting some nagging injuries.
He's fighting the knee injury.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't, man. Listen, the Saints better be careful, though. They're going up against a defense. Listen, to slow a great offense is to have a great defense. It's that simple. And you got Dallas and Chicago. You got two great defenses. Well, although Chicago can't see the Saints.
Okay.
It's
impossible
to see it until the NFC Championship game. All
right.
So they would have to wait and see. They can either see Dallas or Dallas or Chicago, either one of those. So, but we'll see. Or Philadelphia, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
Right.
I wouldn't want to see the Eagles.
No, I wouldn't.
Not after this game.
Not after this one.
Especially at who at the helm. Nick Foles gets done in the playoffs.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you don't even have him for the break. If I was the Eagles, we'll be saying strategy next year. We'll have Carson Wentz get us to the regular season.
And guess what? The Saints whooped the Eagles earlier this year.
Yeah.
There's another team that has tape.
I think everybody has tape on everybody.
I think everybody has tape on everybody now. All you have to do is pop. Listen, if you want to beat the Saints, you pop in one tape, that Dallas tape. They were humbled. Pop that tape in, you're good to go. You're good to go. But I'm going to warn people. They might not like it, but the Saints are that good, and the Saints might be coming. Okay? They're coming. They might be coming to Atlanta. I'm saying might. I ain't going to say will.
Right.
Because
there's still a lot of. They got two games to get through before they come here.
Yeah, two games to get through.
And they're not going
to
be easy.
And this is still the National Football League, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, look at Tariq Cohen.
Oh, boy.
And he's going to the Pro Bowl for this.
Oh, wow.
So,
look like Devin Hester.
Yeah, I'm telling you that. Listen, you just never know. But the way that the Saints played this year, they're on track. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat them in that Superdome, man.
Yeah.
You know, in that Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I mean, Carolina got them, but of course, Drew Brees didn't play that game. So it's going to be really tough to beat them there.
Mike Trubisky is about to either go down as some average quarterback that didn't really do much in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
to become a household name if he goes up and completes his drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll definitely be a rite of passage for him because he could be now he'll get that. I won't say whiff of a bust because I don't think he is a bust. But I think he'll be more legitimized if he can do this.
Right. But that Eagles defense and that Eagles secondary. Still pretty good.
Absolutely.
Still pretty good. Just get Cody Parkey into position to win the game. And that's all you have to do. Get him in position because you can kick a field goal and get out of here and head to L.A. next week.
And that's another thing I want to ask you, Leon. Chargers, do they stay on the East Coast?
Let's see. Who do we have next time?
New England.
You have New England.
I have New England.
Do you stay on the East Coast or do you fly back to L.A. to recharge?
Right.
You have to stay on the East Coast. I remember this was at 1980. We had Dan Fouts.
Yeah.
And we went to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And one of the main history mocks the Chargers as always being a good weather team. And one of the reasons why we lost that game in Buffalo, it was 1984,
mm-hmm.
or it was sometime earlier. Is because we're so used to that Southern California 70 degrees on Christmas weather that when you put us in a situation in which the weather is nasty, cold, uncomfortable, and all things unpleasant, it gets to us.
Well, then do you stay out here for the week and try to get used to it, to acclimate yourself to it?
It's just like you had a game in Denver or something. Well, you can't really prepare for Denver, but you got to fly in early. You got that mile high elevation does wonders on your lungs.
It does.
But Denver's a little closer than LA. I mean, it's not as a logistical haul to get all your stuff over there as it from LA as it is to bring it back to LA from Baltimore and then ship it all back to Foxborough.
Right. Standing East Coast. But right now is nasty out here right now to a certain degree, especially up in Baltimore.
Well, you said, in Baltimore, not in Atlanta, but in Baltimore. Atlanta, finally, we actually had a clear weekend for the first time, and I'm going to say 2 months.
2 months, baby.
At least.
At least 2 months. So the Bears are in field goal range.
Bears are field goal. Well, it's still going to be, let's see. I'm going to say it's from right this moment, and I want you to mark it down.
All right.
It'll be 5 minutes before that game-winning field goal gets kicked.
Okay.
Because we're going to have some timeouts. We're going to have some icing.
Yep.
Do they have enough time to run off the play? Because I can't see
it. Well, I think there's 15 seconds left.
Okay, so maybe three.
And Philadelphia has one timeout left. Chicago has none. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, it's gonna be a while. So I can pose some more questions to you guys while we get ready for this. If you are Atlanta, is it just so much anybody but the Saints and Patriots at this point? That you want to come here?
For me, it's the Saints. I think I'm over the New England Patriots. Okay, I'm just.
But if you're the Chamber of Commerce, if you're the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, you want bodies in the city. Won't New Orleans travel really well? Won't their fans make that drive to come here?
Listen, I don't want to see the Saints here. I've told people that a million times, man. I don't want to see them here or their fan base, especially their fan base. I don't want to see them, man. They're going to paint this town gold and black. And do you know that I heard that if the Saints...
Well, can't we just walk behind them and put Georgia Tech logos over all the fleur-de-lis?
We could. But we have to paint them a little blue.
Did he take the
No, game? He didn't. He iced them.
Yep. Not yet. Told you.
He iced them.
Told you. Made that timeout.
5 minutes. Yep, 5 minutes. He iced them.
So like I said, we follow behind them and post Georgia Tech logos on all the fleur-de-lis. That the Saints will bring with them.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get that done. Hopefully we can get that done. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You know, I'm going to say, you know, obvious. You say somebody else besides the Patriots and the Saints. You know,
But you want a team that travels. You want their fan base to come. And to be honest, guys, to be honest, guys, it's not about the fan base anymore. Could you tell me, can you sit here and tell me that average fans are going to be coming to this game and actually getting inside?
Yeah, you're right.
No. It's going to be more of the corporate.
It's going to be more of the corporate.
But yes, I mean, if the average fan does come, what is he or she, because we have to say that, what is he or she going to do?
Good point. Now, let me ask you this. Has this always been this way? I don't think it has.
No, I don't think it has either. I think it's been, I want to say, last, definitely every year. He missed?
He missed it.
Did he bang it off the crossbar?
Yes, he did.
Or the up, was it the upright or the crossbar?
The upright, and then it banged off the crossbar.
All right, so he tried to play Minnesota Fats and didn't work.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, wow.
All right, checking the replay.
We're standing in disbelief.
It looks like it hit the left crossbar. Boing.
And then it hit the crossbar. And then it hit the left upright, and then it hit the crossbar. Just a weird way to end the game. And the camera didn't even keep up.
No, the camera kept going. It wasn't the Carlton Fisk home run shot. It was the cameraman just going one way and didn't see what the ball was doing.
Question. Didn't we lose 16-15 in a divisional playoff game last year? Or was it 18-16 or something like that?
I don't think it was 16-15. It was, I think it was 18. I think the Eagles had 18. And they're going to take a knee and go and get out of here. So the 6th seed, the Eagles, will be playing the 1 seed, the Saints, which would send Dallas
to play the Rams.
So now we can
judge and scout these divisional matchups.
And now we can break them down. It was like race jumper. Yeah, it was. It was very ugly.
But isn't ugly games, isn't close games, ipso facto, good games by their very nature?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I love games like this, but, I mean, I adore shootouts, but to have a close, ugly game like we did, it hit the crossbar, too.
All right, is it hitting it right there? Yeah, it hit the upright, then it hits the crossbar, it still goes the other way. It's in, and the Bears advance, but it comes back.
It came back. Yeah, and it went in, then he would have been good.
Who's the most famous field goal kicker of all time?
Garo Yepremian.
Besides Jack Vinatieri. I'm about to say Jack Vinatieri.
Adam Vinatieri.
But it's another one, though.
Morton Anderson.
No, it's another one.
Gary Anderson.
It's the worst one, man. He's infamous.
Mike Vanderjagt?
Infamous. I say the team.
The guy that Adam Sandler played in the Lonesome Kicker video.
Who's the gentleman who missed the kick in the 90s?
The Bills guy.
Christy.
He's an infamous guy.
It was Christy.
The guy who missed the kick in
the Bills Giants, right?
Yeah. They had a whole 30 for 30 special.
Oh, I know. The Four Falls of Buffalo. I know about it, yeah.
And the fact that the cigarette smoking man had it out for the Bills.
Yeah.
Hold on, we gotta look up his name, gentlemen, because the kicker for the Bears won't be as bad as this gentleman though, but
well it's good to know. And how far was that kick? Was this kick, guys?
It was an NFL.
No, I mean the kick that the Bears just missed.
It might have been from 40.
Yeah, it might have been from 40.
Okay.
I think it was from 40. Good range for Barkey. Right. He hits from those. And the Eagles beat us 15-10.
All right, you're right.
Scott Norwood.
Scott No Good.
Christy didn't come until after, I think.
Right.
Scott Norwood.
Scott No Good, yes.
Yep, Scott, it's no good.
Oh man! Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Whenever I see this, it's like when I seen something like that, I'm like, dang, you went on Scott Norwood.
You know what's funny though? At the end where I saw when you were trying to go, I named off Gary Anderson. Gary Anderson, of course, missed that field goal that could have won the Minnesota Vikings, that was their best team. We went to the Super Bowl. Yep, our first Super Bowl. Yep, Gary Anderson missed that kick, and then Mike Bandit. who was actually lights off. He was lights on that year. And everybody, including myself, said he missed it. Dungy said he missed it. Peyton Manning, he missed it. I think everybody in the world was like, he missed it. At the same damn time, I think everybody said it.
Who was the quarterback for that team? For the Vikings team, you had
Randall Cunningham.
Was it Randall?
Who went that year? They were supposed to go to the Super Bowl.
They had three. They had actually three good quarterbacks. They had Randall Cunningham at one point in time. Yeah, Warren Moon at one point in time.
Mm-hmm. And Moon came after. No, Moon
came before.
Before Cunningham. So it was Moon, Cunningham, and then Culpepper.
Yeah, Dante Culpepper. So Dante Culpepper wasn't the quarterback for the
year? No, it was Randall Cunningham. 40-year-old Randall Cunningham.
Man, he was 15-1 that year.
He had a great hit because he had Randy Moss fall out of the sky and fall in his lap. That's why. And Randy Moss was setting records his rookie year that year. And Chris Carter was still on that team. And they had a good defense. John Randall was on the defensive line. So
It wasn't the Purple People Eaters.
Mm. No, it wasn't. But
that were behind Fran Tarkenton, on the opposite side of Fran Tarkenton.
And we just
three road teams won in this divisional round, wild card round. The only one who held serve were the Cowboys.
And I'm impressed. These were teams that I think you kind of expected to win because of the quarterbacks they were up against. With the exception of the Dallas and Seattle game, I think that might have been the coin flip because Dak Prescott, he's their guy for Dallas. And Russell Wilson has been the two Super Bowls. So.
That's how I see myself with Seattle. They already been validated and verified.
Yeah.
But Dallas really needed this win.
They did. To actually certify and validate if Coach Garrett's going to be there next year. But I'm going to break this down real quick, guys. The divisional rounds. In the AFC, we're going to have two very good matchups. Chargers, Patriots, and Colts and Chiefs.
All right, we just got the sorry to interrupt, Daniel. We just got the timing. We just got the scheduling. Saturday, 4:30, Colts and the Chiefs. 8:15, Cowboys and the Rams.
Yep.
Sunday, 1:05, Chargers and Patriots. 4:40, Eagles and Saints.
Eagles and Saints. Yep, that's how it should go. That's how it will go. First game, I like the Chiefs.
Sorry. Now, remember, the last time these two teams played in the playoffs, the Chiefs had that huge lead, and the Colts came back with that incredible rally to win. That was yesterday that the anniversary of that game was.
It was. It was a wild card playoff game.
T.Y. Hilton with a good couple touchdown catches in that one to help bring him back.
I don't think that's going to happen this time. This is in Kansas City. I think the Chiefs, they're rolling in. The only problem that I would see Kansas City having is if they can't score on the Colts defense, they're going to have problems. Because that Chiefs defense is not good. Okay, they've had problems this year. And really their problem has came from the fact that they didn't have Eric Berry this year. I think that would be my case. But I still think that Pat Mahomes will get it done somehow, some way. And listen, I'm believing in them this time. Okay, they've had an awesome year. I'm believing in them this time. I am. So I like it. Happy early birthday. I think we're gonna have a Chiefs Chargers AFC Championship game.
I gotta get on the phone. My uncle and who lives in Kansas City, and definitely troll him like nobody's business.
Absolutely.
But so we gotta look at. The sources say that they're going to give Nick Foles $1 million bonus. Do we have a real serious controversy? This a realist controversy in Philadelphia? Do you keep it as is? Do you go off and just let Carson Wentz get you the playoffs and let Nick Foles take over from there?
Well, you got a decision to make.
Yeah, and right now at this point, I don't know. I don't know what they would do. They have a real serious situation going on here. Nick Foles just won a playoff game for them again.
Right.
You know, and in fact, he's won, four straight playoff games for them? When you count back to last year, you know, they didn't have Wentz in the playoffs. None last year. So, he won the divisional round against us. He won the NFC Championship game. He won the Super Bowl. And now he's won this game. So, he's won four straight.
So, if he takes you back to the promised land, what do you do? Will Carson Wentz replace Case Keenum in Denver?
Be the latest effort there? I mean,
man, I don't know. Your head will say yes, but if you're going to use your heart in this situation, that's what's going to make it tough. Because Wentz hasn't played a playoff game yet, mm-hmm. and the Eagles have been to the playoffs twice,
and he hasn't been there once.
You know, and that's just bad luck on him, though. But let's not take no credit away from Carson Wentz, because that year that they were the best team in the NFL, which was last season, he got them there.
33 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Yeah, he got them there. Now, he struggled at the beginning of the year. That team went 4-5. But since then, they've gone, what was it, 5-1 or something like that, 5-4, some ridiculous stat they were. But they started out 4-5, and then they just rolled through to
like
get to the playoffs. Yeah, like the Colts did. Everybody kind of rolled the Colts out.
Could we see a Colts-Eagles Super Bowl?
Yes, we could. And I don't think we've ever seen 2-6 Eagles.
I don't think we have either.
I don't think we've ever seen that ever happen before. But I think that we could be on the verge of seeing that, John. Because I think...
And I know Leon just was looking like he just smelled raw liver when we gave him that possibility.
So I'm going to give you my prediction. I think it's going to be a Chiefs-Chargers AFC Championship game. And I think that it's going to be a Rams-Eagles NFC Championship game.
Wow. So if you're Vegas, do you have the Patriots favored next week?
Yeah. I think you have to have them favored. Yeah. They're home team. You have to have them favored.
They're at home, and Phillip Rivers hasn't beaten them yet.
They're at home. They've had a week off.
Yeah.
They're rested. Yeah, I think you have to do it.
Now, are they the best team? Now, are they a better team when you match them up? I don't think so. Because I think this is probably the worst Tom Brady has had right now. He's been riddled with injuries. Gronk can't seem to stay healthy. And Josh Gordon is gone, who was then your number one guy. So now,
you think Vegas is going to consider all that?
I don't think so. I think because
Tom
Brady. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are still Bill Belichick is still roaming the sidelines, and Tom Brady is still his quarterback. And they'll be favored. Now, will they be big favorites? No. I think we're probably looking at 4. The line might be 4. You know? Now, I think the biggest favorite would be the Saints. Nobody's expecting for the Eagles to roll in the Philadelphia in the New Orleans and do what they do because of what the Saints have done this year.
They, you know, speaking of the Saints.
Why?
So,
why was he speaking?
Exactly, you're not lying. That's what I'm going to ask. So, you know, in reference to the Saints, though, you know, Drew Brees specifically, does he walk away the MVP or do you hand it over to Patrick Mahomes?
Oof, man, you know what? You can't take away the season that Drew Brees has had.
I would still give it to Mahomes.
Yeah, but Pat Mahomes, did he throw 50 touchdown passes this year? You know, that guy was incredible this year.
Second year quarterback.
And it's not like that they were 6-10 and he threw 50 touchdown passes. No, that team was the number one overall seed, and he did what he did. But, man, it shouldn't be a unanimous vote, I say that. Drew Brees should make it close, because Drew Brees only threw, 4 or 5 interceptions this year? If that, man, listen, the guy was incredible this year. I make no mistake about that. Make no mistake about it at all.
It's interesting because the same reason why Drew Brees may... They're going to hold this against Drew Brees, but for the same results but different, I guess people are a little more impressed with, all right, you know that loss that New Orleans had Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But the game that Patrick Mahomes had against the Patriots, though they lost that game, America was impressed with how this young man came through and you know, though he did not walk out with a victory,
I give you a game better. Probably the greatest game ever played on Monday Night Football history between the Rams and the Chiefs, where the sky was just lit up with points and touchdowns. And Mahomes had like 6 touchdown passes in that game. You know, in a losing effort, but he threw some touchdowns in that game.
Bro, you're like, he might have not won.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. Anytime your offense puts up 30 points, your defense has, and you lose anyway, your defense is kind of, you know, the spotlight's on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him putting up that many touchdowns, and, you know, especially against, I say against the Rams, against the Patriots, putting up over 40 points. This young man, I don't want to see this man in the NFC, in the NFC Championship, to be honest with you.
Well,
he's coming to light it up.
I think you're going to see him, Leon.
Well, I want to take you guys back to November 18th, 2018, Superdome Louis, in New Orleans, Louisiana, Saints and Eagles, first round, 48-7, New Orleans victory in that ball game. Carson Wentz was your quarterback, throws for 156 yards, three picks. Drew Brees, 363 yards, four touchdowns.
Yeah, and I think that was...
What does Nick Foles bring you that Carson Wentz doesn't?
A winning mentality, man. Because he's in the playoffs. And, again, that defense was not quite together yet. It seemed as if the wheels had just completely fell off the Eagles. And everybody was riding it, was coming off that bandwagon. And everybody was coming off that Super Bowl high. And I think they had just started to come off that Super Bowl high. The Eagles did. So, with that being said, I think it's going to be a completely different game. This is a completely different team from what you're seeing now. That team just beat a Bears team, and they had to grind that victory out. So, I don't know, man. Yeah, 48-7, that was, I remember watching that game and turning it off like in the second quarter.
Another thing, Daniel, you are absolutely right. The first lines just come out. Patriots 4.5.
Patriots 4.5.
Saints 8.5.
Yeah. Is that the highest one?
That's the highest one. Rams 7, yeah. Chiefs 5.5.
Right. And simply because how in the hell are you gonna stop the Saints in the Superdome? That's why they are prohibited favorites to win. They're probably prohibited favorites to win the entire thing. But
and that four and a half is like Chargers might be a better team, but that is Tom Brady and Foxborough with Bill Belichick on the sideline. So,
yeah,
we gotta show them some respect, you know. So that's it. A lot going on in the playoffs. We do have another situation that did unfold with a non-playoff team this year. They just missed the playoffs, but they have a situation in of itself that can determine if they make it through next year.
Who's that?
Looking at Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Then the fiasco that is Pittsburgh right now, like, you know, a lot of people are blaming the culture, some people are blaming the coach, some people are looking at all of the ownership, even making this money possible to even create the problem. You know, does this set a trend for paying wide receivers? What to say about Julio Jones? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they give Julio Jones all this money, is he going to go Antonio Brown on us? You know?
No. Julio Jones, as far as personality-wise, Julio Jones and Antonio Brown are two different people.
He's not coming to... So you're saying that Julio Jones would not show up to practice in Air Force One?
No. Unless that's his favorite shoe of choice.
But I'm talking about with Air Force One.
Oh, plane dropping him off. Nah, no.
I knew where you were going with that.
No, he won't. That's not Julio Jones. That's not him. I mean... He'll probably show up in a limo. But hell, he deserves that. He got the kind of money. In Atlanta's case, and I'm going to say this, and I know we got to get out of here, but in Atlanta's case, you need to take care of Julio Jones. That's probably the number one on your priority list before you take care of the three coordinators that you fired, okay, and try to replace them. Well, you're not going to replace the defensive coordinator because Dan Quinn is now going to be You need to replace two of them, right? So, yeah, then you lock up Julio Jones and you lock up Grady Jarrett, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are the two guys you need to worry about. And then if you want to lock up Vic Beasley, which I've heard that they're probably going to do, then if you want to lock him up, fine. Lock him up.
And then, you grade every lineman in the draft.
In the draft. There you go. And that's how you do that. Number two, Dan Quinn is on the hot seat. I don't care what anybody says. Anytime you fire all three of your coordinators, you and Dimitroff officially go on the hot seat. Because that means now you have to show us what you're going to do next year. And you have to be better than what you put out there this year. Right? As far as Antonio Brown and the Steelers go, this is a soap opera.
How is it possible that suddenly the Pittsburgh Steelers have become the most dysfunctional team in the AFC North?
It is crazy. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Never. We've never seen a Pittsburgh Steelers team like this. Chuck Noll, Bill Cowher, and now Mike Tomlin. And this, they may have to, I've said this before, this team has to be blown up.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just do it. If you're going to get rid of Antonio Brown.
And he lost LB.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not coming back. No question.
Oh, of course not.
He didn't sit out the whole year just to go back. No. This is a statement for him. He's hitting the market, and he wants the max contract.
It is such a disappointing thing to see and to hear out of that Pittsburgh Steelers organization. And I've oftentimes said it that if Mike Tomlin is not careful, he better watch himself because he could be on the block too.
I think,
you know, because most of this, you have to kind of pin this on him. Culture. Because and not just the culture. You have to be able to keep this inside your locker room. You've let some stuff leak out. You have to be able to understand and listen, don't let this go out here.
And it's your team.
And it's your team. Right?
Exactly. I mean, it's the thing. It's the head coach's responsibility to manage everything. And if you can't handle that, then you got to go. It's the same thing with Rick Pitino in Louisville.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. He cannot say, I had no idea this was going on.
Right.
At the very worst, you didn't do your job. Yeah. At the very best, you're lying.
Exactly.
It's either one of the two. And either one, whatever one it is bad enough to get you kicked out the door. And Tomlin is running into the same situation.
Exactly.
This is the first time that Pittsburgh has missed the playoffs in 6 years?
6 years. 5, 6 years. It's 2013. They missed the playoffs.
Well, we went a little longer than we wanted to talking about the NFL playoffs, hoping to get a little bit of conversation about the game going on tomorrow at Santa Clara, California, between Clemson and Alabama. That's going to have to wait for next week when we wrap that up and talk about that championship next weekend. And I want to really get into this, especially the big controversy about how maybe that this game should not be in Santa Clara. It should be somewhere else. Because we're hearing a lot of headlines about how there's just no ticket market for this. It's just going through the floor. You can pick up a ticket for about $200 to this ball game tomorrow. It's really bad, and we'll get into that next week. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Our 16th episode is in the books. We'll be with you next week. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell somebody you've never talked to, tell your mother, tell your father, and tell your baby, your 2-year-old niece, because you want to get them hooked early. So for everyone involved,
I'm
John Morgan. We'll see you next week. This has been a presentation of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. See you next week. Have a good night, everybody.